Many of us pray for little things where there isn't much risk. Then there's Joshua, who prayed for big things. I mean really big things. He needed more daylight to defeat an enemy. So we asked God to make the sun stand still. Now that's faith. Today, lessons we can learn from an event that seems to defy the rules of nature. Stay with us as we pay a visit to the Valley of Ajalon. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on Getting Started Right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 10 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Let's Experience the Power of Prayer.
Have you ever thought of how wonderful it would be if God were to fight for you? What a statement, the Lord fighting for you. Can you just imagine it? Trampled down by people, misunderstood, circumstances that are very difficult, and God comes along and takes up your cause and says, I will fight in your behalf. And basically, all that you have to do is to kind of stand by and watch God do it. Watch God do all the things that you always thought He should but didn't. And now He takes up your cause and He fights in your behalf. Of course, in one sense, God is always doing that, isn't He? If He were not fighting for His people, we'd have been devoured by the devil long ago. Sin would have corroded our character in such a way that we would never recover, were it not for the fact that God is for us. How wonderful it would be, though, if God did more than that. If He just came from heaven and just said, I'm here to fight on your behalf. Israel had that experience in the 10th chapter of the book of Joshua. If you turn there for a moment, I want you to notice the text for the day. Joshua chapter 10. They've gone through a difficult experience, as we'll mention in a moment. And now we come to one of the most dramatic passages in the entire Bible. You'll notice I'm going to pick up the text in verse 12 of chapter 10. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, and I love this, and I think you do too, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. It is written in the book of Jasher, a book that we don't have today, but there were other books that were written during the time of Joshua. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. I love this even more. When the Lord listened to a man. And now we have the text for the day, folks. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. I'd say, yeah, I think so. The Lord was fighting for Israel. What I'd like to do is to paint the context, and then we're going to, of course, relate it to ourselves. But the context is that Joshua made a treaty with the Gibeonites, which he should never have made. If you were with us last time, you know that he made an unwise decision, and we spoke on the topic of making the best of a bad decision. But nevertheless, he made it, and so he kept it. Now you have a coalition of five kings that are gathering together to fight against the Gibeonites, and Joshua has no choice. His integrity is at stake. He has no choice but to make sure that he defends the Gibeonites and fights on their behalf. These five kings, they gathered. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, Now Adonai Tzedek. If I remember my Hebrew correctly, Adonai, of course, is the Lord, and Tzedek is king. He's taking the name of the Lord as such, but of course he's a pagan king, and he gets four other kings to go with him, making a total of five, and they said, we're going to go up and we're going to fight against the Gibeonites, and so Joshua, painted into a corner, has to fight on the behalf of those with whom he made the treaty. So that's the context. Now, what I'd like us to do is to look at this passage and ask this question. What kind of a prayer did Joshua pray that made God come and fight for Israel? Because isn't it true that you want God to fight for you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came and took over your cause and held your side of the argument and the bargain? What kind of a prayer did Joshua pray to get this kind of a response from God? The kind of response that says that the Lord listened to the voice of a man. First of all, I want you to know that Joshua prayed with a promise. He prayed with a promise. You'll notice it says in verse 7, Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." Now there's something to hang on to. Chapter 1, God had said, "All the place where the sole of your foot treads, I have given that to you." And here God reiterates the promise and says, "Don't be afraid, Joshua. I have given them into your hand." If you have the faith to believe it, it is a done deal. It is over with. I am the Lord, and I'm doing as I will in this battle, and I want you to know that they are going to be yours. Now, Joshua had this promise, you see. Just as you and I, as we shall see, we need some promises to hang on to. The question is, which promises can we hang on to for what? And that's a big study in Scripture, one that really, really should necessitate a series of messages. Because oftentimes we want to take promises out of contexts that don't even apply to us. For example, this promise does not apply to us. This was a specific promise given to Joshua in that context. It doesn't mean that we as the United States of America can claim this promise if we were in a war. It doesn't mean that you and I can necessarily claim this promise and say that this is ours. We have other promises that we can claim. This one is for Joshua, and once he heard it, he began to apply it. Now there's a parenthesis here. I want to say that not only was it necessary for Joshua to have this promise, but he needed to pray with a pure heart. Remember earlier in the case of Achan, when he took something and hid it in his tent, 36 men died on the battlefield. I guess what I want to say is that the promises of God are not automatic. Even implied in this promise and the other promises that God gave to Joshua, there are conditions, even when they're not spelled out. The Lord is saying, "I've given you the land, but you must possess it, you must fight for it, and I want you to know that applying the promise is always a struggle, and sometimes we fail in applying a promise, even though it is rightfully ours." What is the first step? If we want God to fight for us, we must lay hold of a promise that relates to us and hang on to it no matter what. Let's look at a second step. And that is, we must pray not only with a promise, but we must pray with authority. Another word for authority here might be faith. Listen to what Joshua prayed. I already read it, but I'm going to reread it because I love the words. "O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." Wow. You can't say that Joshua was asking for something trivial. It wasn't a case, you know, where he was saying, "Just give me something small." I mean, he was asking for something big. What he was saying is, "I want all of the forces of nature to fight on my side in this because I want to be able to win, and it's important that I have more time to win." Now, there's controversy as to what really happened in this chapter. For example, there are some fine evangelical theologians who believe that when it says the sun stood still, it means that the sun stopped shining. And the argument is that Joshua, who came from Gilgal that night, in fact, I'm picking it up at verse 9, "After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise, and the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up from Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On that day, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, and God fought for them. So there are many people who say that what it means is that Joshua needed some cover because the sun was too bright. His men who had marched all night were weary and tired, and so God used a hailstorm and gave Joshua the shade and gave the enemy the hailstones, and that's really what happened, is that the sun just stopped shining so that the people were able to be refreshed. Well, I can see that possibility. In fact, those of us who were to Israel many years ago, and Daryl, I think you were along at that time, we actually stood on the hill where Joshua stood. And we looked at Gibeon, and we saw the Valley of Ajalon, and that was the view that our tour guide took as to what happened. But you know, you look at the text here and you say, well, I don't think that that's all that happened. It almost seems as if there was an extension of light, because it says the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before, or a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. There's something else going on here in the text. It almost seemed as if that the day was prolonged and there was more hours of sunlight. Now that, of course, creates great problems for scientists, because first of all, Joshua said, "Sun, stand thou still." Well, if you know anything about astronomy, we are told that the sun is always standing still. It is the world that is turning at about 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. But of course, the Bible is written in the language of appearances, just like your almanac is written in the letter of appearances. Or if you are listening on the news and you're listening to the weather, they do not say, now tomorrow morning the earth is going to rotate in such a way that we hope to be able to see the sun at 7:45. No, they talk about a sunrise and a sunset, and that's what the Bible is talking about too. So that's really not a problem. The other problem, which is more difficult scientifically, is if this world were to actually slow after going 1,000 miles an hour, you could imagine what would happen. Tremendous catastrophes, as lakes and rivers and oceans would be thrown helter-skelter because of the slowing down of the earth.
Well, this is Pastor Luther, and of course that would happen unless God chose to prevent it. I hope that you stay tuned next time, because we're talking about one of the most remarkable of all the miracles in the Bible, the day that the sun stood still. But we don't want to miss its central message, and that is the fact that God answered prayer and God fought for Joshua on that day. And so let me encourage you by saying that the God who helped Joshua is the God who can help us. Trust Him, believe Him, pray, and He'll be there for you too.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Let's Experience the Power of Prayer, the last message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Tomorrow, lessons we can take home from the Valley of Ajalon. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Getting Started Right can be yours as a 6-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Could the sun really stand still? Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.